the discussion that Peter has here in 2 Peter 2 against false teachers has been written strongly and harshly against these individuals. In verses 1 through 3, he talks about that they will bring destructive heresies and bring on themselves and those who follow them destruction. Now, their doom is certain because God knows how, he says, to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, as he gives by the illustrations that we noticed last week in verses 4 through 9. Now, why such strong words? Is Peter justified in writing so harshly against these false teachers? People today would say, oh, you can't do that way. You can't talk that way to these people because God loves everyone. Well, is Peter justified? I believe the answer is yes, because he wrote by inspiration, and Peter knows the true extent to which these depraved individuals have fallen. Again, these false teachers are not just people who in their ignorance are guilty of teaching error. Rather, they are very much aware of their deceptions and what they are doing. In our text for this lesson, we're going to learn from Peter just how serious their corruption is in these false teachers. For example, he tells us in verses 10 through 12 that they revile against those in authority. Notice their character, he says in verse 10. They walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. And in verse 10, he says they are presumptuous, self-willed. And by so walking after the flesh, they became little more than natural brute beasts, according to verse 12. Now, in this condition, they despise authority, Peter says in verse 10. They don't appreciate the principles of authority and submission, 1 Peter 2, verses 13 through 17, and they feel no need to submit to those who have authority over them. Now, in verse 10, Peter says they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. This word dignitaries is doxa, and it literally means glories, and it can refer to human dignitaries such as church or civic leaders, but also celestial beings such as good and fallen angels. The context of verse 11 and the parallel passage in Jude verses 8 and 9 suggest that fallen angels mentioned in 2 Peter 2 and verse 4 may be the dignitaries spoken of here. So, in some way, these individuals would speak derogatorily of fallen angels. Something even angels greater in power and might would not do. So in verse 12, he says they speak evil of the things they do not understand. Now, once again, Peter's charge is that they speak evil. The charge appears to be in the way that they speak, even of fallen angels, with an attitude of despite toward those in authority, and when they really are not in a position to know the whole situation. And it is such arrogance and evil speaking that they corrupt themselves, according to Jude in verse 10. Now, if the scriptures condemn those who speak evil of fallen angels, what does that say of those who speak evil of fallen individuals, whether they be church or civic leaders? Now, I want Peter's words to encourage us to be very careful about such things. The depravity or the corruption of these false teachers is seen even further when we consider how they revel with great pleasure, according to verses 13 and 14. Peter says they love to carouse. The word carouse or revel, according to the King James Version, uses the word riot or sporting. And it refers to extreme indulgence in sensual pleasures, dissipation. Verse 13 says they count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. Now, this is not to suggest that it is all right to carouse at night, but just demonstrates how depraved these individuals are. Like spots and blemishes, they carouse in their deceptions while they feast with you, verse 13. And what he means here is they take advantage of gatherings with Christians, and they do this with skillful, deception. And he goes on to say, or they have corrupted eyes and heart. In verse 14, Peter said that their eyes are full of adultery. They cannot cease from sin. This speaks of their depravity, their corruption, beguiling unstable souls, taking advantage of those who are immature in the faith. Their heart is trained in covetous practices, verse 14. And they are skilled in how to get what they want. And what they want all pertains to the flesh, as is implied by the term adultery. Now, in verse 14, this depravity or this corruption, they have truly become accursed children. That they are even described as accursed children is another indication that these false teachers were once true Christians. And now they are denying the Lord who bought them, verse 1. And after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, verse 20. Another such indication is seen as we consider our last point concerning the depravity of these false teachers. Verses 15 and 16 says they revolt against the right way. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray. Now it's hard to forsake what you never had, or to go astray from where you never were. If you were never in the right, then it's hard to go astray. So this phrase of Peter lends support to the idea that these false teachers are erring Christians. And sadly, it adds to the description of how far one can fall from the Lord. It is sad when you think about false teachers who once knew the truth, or possibly lived according to the truth, and have veered away from it, erred, if you will, in their living. He says, Peter does in verses 15 through 16, that they are following the way of Balaam. Like the prophet Balaam, they were swayed by the wages of unrighteousness. Now here, Peter is evidently making a play on words, because he used the same phrase earlier, but in a totally different way. In verse 13, the wages of unrighteousness refers to the eternal compensation that one receives for their sins, that is, their condemnation. And in verse 15, the wages of unrighteousness refers to the momentary compensation that one receives for their sins, money, fulfillment of fleshly desires. But remember, Balaam was rebuked and restrained by a dumb donkey who spoke to him. Numbers 22, verses 22 through 35. Now, how much more should we take heed when it is the voice of an inspired apostle, Peter in this case, who seeks to rebuke and restrain the madness of false teachers? In verse 17, we're given two illustrations that describe the corruption or depravity of these false teachers. He said they are wells without water. How disappointing is that? When you go to a well, and I don't know if many of you remember drawing water from a well, but I do, and that freshness, that coolness that comes with that water, or a spring, a natural spring where that water comes out and is crisp and cool, and you're looking forward to that refreshment. Peter says these people are wells without water. There's nothing to them. Or they are clouds carried by a tempest. When we need rain and we look to the sky and we see clouds coming and we think surely we'll have some rain, but they dissipate because the wind blows them and dissolves them. Both illustrations describe things which promise a lot, like in water, but they deliver nothing. And it's the same way with false teachers, who, while promising so much, but are so depraved themselves that there is only one thing awaiting them. Peter says it's to whom the gloom of darkness is reserved forever. In other words, the same judgment given to the angels who sinned, 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. Now, how ironic that these individuals who were so bold to revile fallen angels are going to receive the same punishment. Peter's going to have more to say about these false teachers in the final section of this chapter, especially with regards to their deceptions and how they fail to deliver what they promise. But in the meantime, let us remember that it is not sufficient to just beware of false teachers. We must also be growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18. Now the question is, how can we fall prey to people that teach false doctrine? People that are false teachers that willfully and knowingly lead people from the truth. But you know, isn't that the way it's been throughout history? Not just in religious matters, but look at our history of the world and how many times people have fallen prey to the message of someone leading them away from the truth politically, morally, or whatever the case may be. Friends, I don't want you to give in and become prey for false teachers. I don't want you to be the victim of someone who wants to teach false doctrine. As I say at the end of all these Bible lessons, we need book, chapter, and verse. And if we're not looking for book, chapter, and verse in what's being taught to us, if we don't expect it, if we don't demand it, then we will become prey. We will become fodder for these false teachers. And it won't matter in the end if you identify them, because you're going to go along with what they say. So yes, we do need to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Because that helps us to identify. We need to know book, chapter, and verse so that we can identify false teachers. 1 John 4 and verse 1. Test or to try them to see that what they're saying is the truth. Now, are you becoming aware of false teachers? Are you living a life so that you're not susceptible? You're not gullible enough to follow false teachers? What is the case in your life? It may be that you're going to worship this morning at a place that has people teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God, or they don't teach anything about the Word of God. They'll teach something that is designed to make you feel good. And if there's sin in our life, we need to hear lessons that convict us of those things, that prick our hearts, like in Acts chapter 2. Is this the case with you? I sincerely hope that you'll think about it. If you'd like to listen to this lesson again, you can go to thechurchateastside.com. That's our website. You can look at this sermon under sermons. If you'd like to talk to me, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. If you'd like to visit with us at the Eastside Congregation, we'll meet at 9 a.m. this morning for Bible study. And that's followed by worship service at 10 a.m. And then we'll meet again this evening at 5 p.m. When you go to the church's website, again, that's churchateastside.com, you can find more information about who we are and what we practice and believe. You can find other information there. You can find bulletin articles. You can find other lessons, past radio programs. But again, if you'd like to speak to me, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. Thank you again for being with me this morning.